This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The two major Democratic presidential candidates sound very different. Senator Barack Obama talks about hope and bringing the country together. Senator Hillary Clinton speaks about experience and the practical business of governance. When asked how they differ on the issues, Senator Clinton brings up health care. Senator Obama points to foreign policy. But what about the environment, the economy, education, immigration, trade, Cuba, China, Darfur, immigration, and Iraq? In the run-up to the next and possibly decisive round of primaries, 1 week from tomorrow, we focus not on rhetoric or on personalities or on campaign tactics, but on where Senators Clinton and Obama agree and disagree on the issues. Tell us what issue is most important to you. We'll tell you where the candidates stand. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later on the opinion page this week, enough, the media, mental illness, and Britney Spears. But first, Kirk Victor is staff correspondent for the National Journal. He'll answer questions about domestic policy. Michael Hirsch, a senior editor at Newsweek, will answer questions about foreign policy. They're both here with us in Studio 3, and thanks very much to you both.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll begin with an issue on which the two candidates agree that they disagree, and that's health care. Julie Rovner is NPR's health policy correspondent. She's also here with us in Studio 3A. Good to talk to you again, Julie.
Nice to be here.
And Senator Clinton says that her health care plan is markedly different. What are the differences between the two candidates on health care?
Well, there's one big difference, which is that Hillary Clinton's plan has something called an individual mandate, and that is a requirement that everyone have health insurance. If you don't get it through your employer, you would have to buy it. There would be large subsidies for people who couldn't afford it, but everyone would have to have health insurance. What Senator Clinton says is that's the only way that you would ensure that there would be universal coverage, that everyone would be covered. Senator Obama does not have that individual mandate. He has a mandate for children in his plan, but not for adults. He says his subsidies would be big enough that there would be almost everybody who would be covered anyway. Now, most health economists agree with Senator Clinton that without some sort of mandate, unless you were to have some kind of universal coverage plan, single payer like they have in England, right, or Canada, that you wouldn't get coverage of everybody without a mandate. So most of the economists are siding with Senator Clinton. And in fact, Senator Obama's advisors say that, well, you know, if you didn't really get everybody the first time around, maybe they'd have to come back later and put something in. Now, what Senator Clinton has gone out and sort of attacked Senator Obama by saying your plan doesn't cover
leaves people out.
15 million people. And in fact, there are some studies that suggest that that would probably be the number. Senator Obama has come back at Senator Clinton by talking about how punitive the enforcement would have to be on this mandate by saying, well, you would force people to buy health insurance that they couldn't afford. And of course, Senator Clinton responds, well, we would give them subsidies so they could afford it. So this has been really the essence of the fight between the two of them on health care, and it's gotten very nasty.
And let's turn to foreign policy and Michael Hirsch. Senator Obama says he's been right on Iraq from day one, opposed the war from the beginning. That's a central difference between him and Senator Clinton, yet in terms of their plans to what they might do about Iraq after they're elected, is there a big difference?
Well, there's getting to be less and less of a difference, frankly, mainly because Senator Clinton has tacked her way toward Obama's position. There's basically two main issues. I mean, there's a whole plethora, but two main issues that are focused on. One, obviously, is Iraq. Obama has said all along that he would dramatically draw down the troop presence and get out in 16 months. That's the policy that's evolved. Clinton has been more of a flip-flopper on this issue. A couple of years ago, back in 2006, she was saying that she didn't believe in timetables. She didn't vote for them. But in recent months, she has begun to talk about withdrawing a substantial number of troops within 60 days of being inaugurated, with a goal of getting them all out, all combat troops out by 2009. So that's quite a dramatic difference, and it's clear, probably in order to appeal to the Democrat base, she has moved much more toward him. The other key difference is this issue of dealing with countries like Iran, rogue nations. Obama said in one of the early debates that he would negotiate without preconditions. Clinton called that naive. This played right into this you know, ever-present theme between the two of them, where Obama is the new candidate of hope and change, and she is the candidate of experience, showing that she's got her feet firmly planted on the ground.
And came up again just in the context of Cuba in the past week.
Right. And on Cuba, now on Cuba, Obama himself has done a little bit of flip-flopping. He had said a while back, about a year ago, that he would not support the embargo. He thought the embargo had been a disastrous policy, effectively keeping the Fidel Castro regime in place. But in recent weeks, he has begun to hedge that position and suggest that there would have to be some sort of move first by the Cuban government before he would begin to lift the embargo.
And Kirk Victor, aside from health care, which we heard about from Julie Rovner, are there significant differences on domestic policies?
Really, there are not. However, it's a little bit beyond a dime's worth of difference. I would say I would point to good government sort of ethics reforms. Barack Obama has been a leader going back to his days in the Illinois State Senate for ethics reform. He supported the creation of an independent ethics office in the United States Senate. Senator Clinton opposed that. He was more the reformer. She was more the institutionalist. Her side prevailed in that. Otherwise, there are some differences in nuances on some of these issues, but not really a great deal of difference.
Well, let's see if we can get some listeners involved in the conversation. Again, our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. We're not talking about rhetoric. We're not talking about vision. We're not talking about experience. We're talking about positions on the issues between Senators Clinton and Obama. And our guests are Julie Rovner, who will talk about health care, Kirk Victor on domestic issues, Michael Hirsch on foreign issues. Let's begin with Robert. Robert's calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, I've got a question for the two panelists. I'm wondering what the candidates' positions are on Social Security and how they plan to keep it solvent so that in 20 years when I retire, I'll get some money from the government as well.
What do you think, Kirk Victor?
Well, on Social Security, essentially they have, I think, ducked the issue. They have not tackled in a specific fashion precisely what they would do. The question, of course, is as more and more baby boomers retire, how are they going to be provided for when there are fewer and fewer workers in the domestic workforce to support them? And frankly, in both cases, neither of them have bitten the bullet and talked about either later retirement, which has been proposed by some policy experts, or by boosting taxes in some fashion. So I would say in this area, they both ducked.
Julie? No, sorry. Let's see if we can go to another caller. Thanks very much, Robert. Let's go now to Ethan. Ethan with us from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
I have two questions. One is about the defense budget. The president delivered a $700 billion defense budget this year to the Congress, and everybody knows that it's underestimated. It doesn't include budgets for all the secret programs. There's not enough in there for Iraq. So it's going to be close to $1 trillion. And this is really an unsustainable defense budget, and neither candidate has been willing to touch this. My other question is about the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and it seems that, again, both candidates are very reluctant to get into that debate, possibly because of some issues with some of their voting blocs.
Well, let's turn to Michael Hirsch of Newsweek.
Yeah, on the latter issue first, excuse me, it is very true that neither candidate has been willing to get into the details other than to very vaguely embrace the peace process, particularly the Annapolis process that began with the conference last fall, under which Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian leader, and Ehud Olmert, the Israeli prime minister, are talking. Both candidates, both Hillary and Barack Obama, have said that they would pick up on this, they would pursue it, but no details. And I think a big reason is because there's a lot of concern about voter blocs, particularly obviously the American Jewish vote. Behind the scenes, there has been a rather vicious whispering campaign begun against Obama over his stand on Israel, and referring to some of his advisors who are suspect in terms of their support for Israel. In some cases, this is being done by surrogates or operatives of the Hillary Clinton campaign. In other cases, just other individuals. So it's quite an active topic of discussion, but both candidates have stayed away from specifics.
And on defense spending?
And on defense spending, both of them, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, they both tend to lament the wastage of the American military in Iraq, the lack of readiness, the fact that the Iraq war has been paid through supplemental budgets through the back door, as it were. But again, we don't have any specific proposals for how they would winnow down that defense budget from its
Just follow up. I mean, we're talking about possibly a $500 billion deficit next year if the if we had a recession. And, you know, how are they going to deal with that? Mm.
Again, this just hasn't, you know, this has not become a topic. The only way you tend to get down to any level of detail on some of these subjects is if it comes up in the debates, and it hasn't really. You know, which weapon systems would Obama cut? Which would Clinton cut? What would it do with each of the major, the four major services? There's no
specific. Well, also, and there's very expensive proposals to expand both the Army and the Marine Corps. And,
they
both supported that.
They both have embraced the idea of expansion in the wake of the Iraq war, where clearly our military readiness, particularly of the Army, has been so sapped.
So Ralph Nader was right.
Well, I was just going to follow up on that, and thanks very much for the call. But Ralph Nader, an emailer named Gene, says yesterday on NBC, Ralph Nader said Barack Obama had changed his opinion and now opposes the Israeli peace movement. Has there been any response to that from the Obama campaign, so far as you know, Michael Hirsch?
No, I mean, it's not true. I don't know where he would get that from. I think that Nader was suggesting that Obama was more sympathetic toward the Palestinians before he began running for president, and then, of course, to cater to the Jewish vote, he began to issue some strong statements on Israel. I don't really think there is much evidence of that. I think he has come out with some more forthright statements of support for Israel, but that doesn't indicate that he's shifted his position that much.
Michael Hirsch of Newsweek magazine, also with us Kirk Victor, staff correspondent for National Journal, and Julie Rovner, NPR's health policy correspondent. If you'd like to know about the differences and agreements between Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on the issues, join the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Cownan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Cownan in Washington. Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton spend a lot of time comparing each other's positions on the issues. We're doing that today without the campaign rhetoric. You can compare the candidates' close stances on Iraq, health care, immigration, and more at npr.org/talk. We're looking at some of those same positions with NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner, Newsweek senior editor Michael Hirsch, and Kirk Victor from the National Journal. Of course, we want to hear from you. What questions to have about the issues and where the two major Democratic candidates stand? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also read what other listeners have to say on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation, where you'll also find a link to Kirk Victor's article comparing Clinton and Obama on the issues. In the meantime, let's see if we can get back to the calls. And this is Joe. Joe with us from Belleville in Illinois.
Hello, Neil. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got one question. I'm not a one-issue person, but something that I've been wondering about. I know where Hillary stands on the subject of pro-choice/right-to-life issue, but I do not know where Barack Obama stands. I was wondering if your panel could elaborate on that.
Julie Rovner?
Yes, actually, this has come up as an issue. Actually, Hillary Clinton tried to make it an issue. From the point of view, I should tell you, of the major abortion rights groups, both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have 100% voting record as being pro-choice in favor of abortion rights. And John McCain actually has pretty much a 0% voting record. He's pretty much down the line pro-life. So those groups would be pretty happy with whichever Democrat is nominated and unhappy with John McCain. But in fact, when Barack Obama Obama was in the Illinois state legislature, he voted present on a number of abortion-related votes. And the Clinton campaign tried to make a big issue out of that. And actually, a lot of the abortion rights groups are fairly unhappy about that now, because it was really a fight between strategy and tactics between different abortion rights groups about whether or not he should vote present, whether that reflected anything about his positions on these bills, or whether it was really giving cover to other legislators, or whether he wanted to move the bills forward. But generally, the big abortion rights groups say they are perfectly satisfied with the abortion records of either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. As far as they're concerned, either one of them would make an excellent president from the abortion rights point of view.
Well, thank you. That does answer my question and help clear things up. My concern was the fact that he had voted present on those issues, and I was wondering if anybody would have an explanation for that.
Okay, Joe, thanks for the call. Here's an email from Sarah in Minneapolis. I care about many of the usual issues, education, foreign policy, health care. I don't think any of it will matter if we don't address global warming. After the most publicized IPCC reports of 2007, why hasn't the issue taken a bigger role in the 2008 elections? We'll throw that to you, Kirk Victor.
Well, it hasn't taken a bigger role because, once again, the two candidates agree very much. In fact, on environmental issues, following up on what Julie was saying, if you talk to the environmental groups, they will tell you that both candidates are very aggressive and tough on this issue, global warming, trying to combat global warming. In fact, as you look at their environmental record, which we did in this week's National Journal, you will find that only on one big issue since Barack Obama joined the Senate in 2005, have they disagreed, and that was on an Energy Policy Act in 2005. But on global warming, there really is not a dime's worth of difference. They both support legislation that would combat global warming and address this issue.
Tell us a little bit about that difference, though. That bill that you were just talking about provided a lot of money for ethanol and also provided money for research into more coal-fired plants, power plants, and those are both big issues for Barack Obama in his home state of Illinois.
You nailed it. That's exactly right. Because those are home state industries, the corn industry, very big industry in Illinois, so obviously he backed ethanol, whereas Senator Clinton was on the side of the environmentalists and opposing that legislation. Her side lost, it passed, Senator Obama's side prevailed there.
Thanks very much. And let's go now to Toby. Toby in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, how's everybody doing this morning?
Very well, I think.
Good. I had a question in regards to free trade policy, in particular NAFTA, and then as well farm subsidies, and if I guess primarily the Democratic candidates diverged in any way from each other on international trade rules.
International trade, we'll throw that to you, Michael, and then get back to the other side with Kirk.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. On NAFTA, particularly as they go at it in Ohio, the two of them have really converged. Hillary, you know, back in 2004, well before the presidential campaign started, was quoted as favorably citing NAFTA as a trade pact that had worked. Obviously, it was something her husband had concluded as president. She has since tacked seriously leftward, much more toward John Edwards' position, and is now campaigning saying that NAFTA, you know, has cost a lot of jobs, which is kind of where Obama is, and Obama is exploiting this this latest flip-flop on Hillary's side by saying that she, you know, she has not been consistent, and she's simply basically pandering to the voter base in Ohio.
What about the pending agreements, Peru, CAFTA, South Korea?
These are, again, all agreements that I think both Clinton and Obama, before the presidential campaign began in earnest, had favorable things to say, though every Democrat worth his salt in praising a free trade agreement these days since the sort of anti-globalization protests began in the late 90s will of course say that labor and environmental laws need to be set as part of these agreements. But again, particularly because they're now campaigning so bitterly in the final stages of the Ohio primary, working class state, you do hear the rhetoric. I know we don't want to talk about rhetoric, but the rhetoric, because there are no real specifics, the rhetoric has gotten much more anti-free trade pact.
Thank you very much, Toby. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Dana. Dana with us from Grayson in Kentucky.
Yes, hi. I was wondering about the differences in their opinion on issues regarding gay rights, like same-sex marriage or some kind of recognition for same-sex partners, be it in insurance coverage or adoption. Or I haven't really heard much about that, and it's something that's important to me. And I'll take my comments off here. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. And Kirk Victor, is there significant differences between the candidates on these issues?
No, I know I sound like a broken record, but there really is not a difference that I know of. And they have not gotten into the weeds on those issues in any of the debates.
Let's go now to Isabel. Isabel with us from Charleston in South Carolina.
Hi. Thank you very much for having this conversation, by the way. I wanted to ask about campaign finance. They seem to have very different ways of financing their campaigns, and I think Obama makes a big deal about that. And I wanted to know, to what extent is there different sort of campaign rhetoric, and to what extent are they really different in how they finance their campaigns, what they think about campaign finance?
Mm-hmm. Again, I guess that would go to you, Kirk Victor.
Thank you. I suppose the one difference there is that Obama does not take money from registered lobbyists. Senator Clinton does take that money. Senator Obama tries to accentuate that difference and score some points, again, presenting himself as the reformer. And Senator Clinton minimizes that and suggests that, well, he's taking money from other sorts of interests. So, again, I think that there is the candidates are desperately trying to accentuate their differences, but I don't think there is an enormous difference there. And again, the good government groups say there's very little difference between them.
And neither would accept the public financing of their presidential campaigns. They would both be privately funded.
Correct.
All right. Isabel, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can go now to, this is caller 4, Martin in Santa Clara, California.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Certainly a good topic. My question is, what kind of economic plan is there between the candidates for when those troops come back? In my mind, it's like a 200,000-person layoff where these people are going to come back to this country, and there aren't going to be that many jobs for them to fill. So is there an economic plan to sustain these people coming back?
Well, I'm not sure it would be put in quite that terminology. I'm not sure that they're talking about making those people leave the military. They're talking about an expanded military, in fact. But in terms of their economic policies, Kirk Victor, when they talk about financing some of their ambitious plans, they say, well, we can stop spending quite so much on the war in Iraq.
That is exactly right, Neil. I mean, essentially, they're looking at very large savings to finance some of their very pricey proposals.
Martin, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Carl, and Carl's with us from Danbury in Connecticut.
Yes, thank you very much. I've heard both of the candidates talk about health care, but only as far as it relates to insurance and coverage and how they're going to pay for the coverage. But I haven't heard either of them talk about real health care costs, the production cost of health care, doctors, hospitals, nursing homes, and the usage of health care. You know, we spend twice as much as almost any other country. Have I missed something? Have they talked about real health care costs?
Julie Rovner.
Well, they have, but they haven't talked about it very much, so you haven't missed that much. Hillary Clinton actually unveiled her plan in three different parts, and the first part of the plan that she unveiled had to do with costs. But in fact, their plans are quite similar, and they wouldn't do all that much, according to most economists, to really bring down costs. It has to do with things like getting more efficiencies, moving to electronic medical records, working with the medical liability system, trying to measure technology better so that doctors only do things that work. But they really, neither one of them has come up with the magic bullet. And I might add that actually Senator McCain's health plan also includes some of these same things. They're very bipartisan, a lot of these issues, and they definitely would, you know, nibble around the edges of getting control of the health care cost problem, but none of them would really do it in a big way.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Carl. Here's an email from Peter who has a, what he says is a correction for us. Your guest said that neither candidate had addressed the issue of raising Social Security taxes. In fact, in one of his most specific proposals, Senator Obama has repeatedly called to lift the cap on contributions to Social Security, which amounts to a major increase in taxes on wealthier taxpayers.
That's a very good point, and I'd stand corrected.
Let's go to another email now. This from Gene in Shawnee Mission, Kansas. I'd like to know where each candidate stands on the issue of executive power. Will either or both do anything to restore the balance of power among the branches of government? Do they feel there is an imbalance? And Michael Hirsch, I guess that goes to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're both trying to outdo each other in condemning the Bush administration's expansion of executive power in the war on terror, and lamenting what that has led to in terms of interrogation, detainee abuses. No real appreciable difference between them on this particular issue. Both of them call for reasserting the balance between the branches of government, though, of course, both of them are senators. And there's some question about how differently you think when you enter the executive branch. But I think there's a general consensus among all the candidates that have been running, even on the Republican side, most of them, the Bush administration went way over the top in terms of asserting executive power.
Michael Hirsch of Newsweek magazine, also with us. Kirk Victor of the National Journal and NPR's health policy correspondent, Julie Rovner. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Tony. Tony with us from Cedar in Iowa.
Hi, this is Tony, and my question generally is there a difference in their policies regarding human rights and civil liberties? But more specifically, we're planning on putting some people on trial, some people in Guantanamo Bay. Obviously, there will be a need to introduce evidence that was obtained by torture. Do either of the candidates have a different policy on this or a different position on this?
Well, I'm going to get to split this up because Guantanamo Bay is pretty dubious as to whether it's domestic or foreign. It's indeed one of the questions before the Supreme Court. But on civil liberties, what do you think, Kirk Victor?
I do not, again, and I do sound like a broken record, but there is not a great deal of difference between the candidates on civil liberties issues. As voters go to the polls and they look at one of these issues after another, frankly, and I know this whole show is devoted to exploring the differences between the issues, on issues such as human rights, they basically echo each other.
And on Guantanamo,
yeah, I mean, I think both of them are in favor of closing it. Though I will say that Obama has gone to greater lengths to be specific about not only closing Guantanamo, but rejecting the Military Commissions Act that set up these military tribunals that are considered very dubious by many lawyers, and. But both of them have made a point of saying that they will observe the Geneva Conventions when it comes to interrogations and detentions.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Let me ask one question, which has not really come up that much in the context of the Democratic debate, but certainly has been a big issue in the Republican primaries, and that's immigration and immigration reform. Kirk Victor.
On immigration, it's very interesting. Senator Clinton followed the course that New York Governor Spitzer took initially in that he favored giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses. And then she shifted gears when the governor dropped that proposal. By contrast, Senator Obama has supported giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses. And he says he's taking that position largely for public safety reasons. Otherwise, they both support a comprehensive immigration proposal, a path to citizenship for the 12 million or so illegal immigrants currently in the country.
And just parenthetically, is it significantly different from the proposal that Senator McCain favored when he was proposed it, a bipartisan proposal in the Senate?
Of course, that was then, and this is now for Senator McCain. But yes, it is very much in line with that initial proposal that Senator McCain had proffered.
Let's see if we get an email question. This from Nicholas regarding labor unions. Has either candidate stated their view on union labor as it relates to the health of the domestic economy? Nicholas in Minneapolis.
big time in Ohio, where jobs have been outsourced, factories have closed, et cetera. They are very much, well, we've already talked about NAFTA some, but they are very much for collective bargaining rights. They are both very, very strongly pro-union. And Senator Obama in the last week or 10 days has picked up the endorsements of a half dozen very large unions. And although this is an area, again, where they agree, but they're both very aggressive in saying that our workers ought to be protected from the dislocations caused by a factory's outsourcing.
We're going to continue this conversation on agreements and disagreements between the two major presidential candidates on the Democratic side about the issues. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email talk@npr.org. We have NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner with us. Also, Kirk Victor, a staff correspondent with the National Journal, who you just heard, and Michael Hirsch, a senior editor with Newsweek magazine. Also coming up, Britney Spears on the opinion page. No, I'm not kidding. Journalist and author Asra Normani makes the case to leave her alone. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. We'll go to the Talk of the Nation opinion page. But right now we're talking about the differences and similarities between the two major Democratic candidates for president of the United States, Senators Clinton and Obama. Our guests are Julie Rovner, NPR health policy correspondent, Kirk Victor, staff correspondent at the National Journal, and Michael Hirsch, a senior editor at Newsweek magazine. And let's see if we can go now to Robert. And Robert's with us from Carrollton, Ohio.
Hello. Has any candidate stated a position on the failed, incredibly expensive war on drugs?
On the war on drugs, has Kirk Victor?
You know, I am going to plead ignorant on that, because I think that in their policy positions on the candidates' websites, there may have been something. It is not an issue that divides the two candidates, but I do not know their positions, other than the fact that there is no difference between the two of them.
Yeah, very critical of Bush's efforts, but no real concrete alternative plans.
The only candidate thus far that I've heard speak openly about drug policy has been Ron Paul on
That's the Republican side.
Yes. Robert, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Let's see if we can get Jesse on the line. Jesse's calling us from Lansing, Michigan.
Hi, Neil. I'm curious about the candidates' positions on global poverty, especially meeting Millennium Development Goals in Africa. Sort of the Bush trip recently has made me curious about it.
Michael Hirsch?
Well, interestingly enough, Bush's positions on global poverty, the Millennium Challenge Program, foreign aid, HIV, AIDS in Africa, are perhaps the only foreign policy area I've ever been able to detect that Democrats have nice things to say about Bush, and that he has, in fact, set a new threshold for involvement, engagement on these issues. So that's the one area where you will actually hear a Democrat, both Obama and Clinton, embrace to some degree what Bush has done.
Jesse, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go now to Pat, and Pat's with us from Lawrence in Kansas.
Hi, thanks. What are the candidates' positions on the government subsidy for nuclear energy?
And the proposal we've been hearing a lot about, building new nuclear power plants, and I guess we'll throw into that the idea of storing nuclear waste in Nevada.
And well, and also the continuation of the Price-Anderson Act.
All right. Well, anyway, let's go to Kirk Victor on that.
Thanks.
Well, again, as I had said earlier, they have very little difference on environmental issues other than on the one, legislation that I discussed earlier. However, they are both on board in supporting Senator Reid in opposition to storage of nuclear waste in Yucca Mountain in Nevada.
What about supporting development of nuclear power plants?
Again, I'm not confident enough to tell you whether they would support that or not. So it has come up on the Republican side, and there has been sympathy for that position by a number of the Republican candidates. I have not heard the Democrats address that. However, I'm not certain.
Yeah, John Edwards had said that Obama supported the use of nuclear energy, so that's why I was calling and wondering. Have you heard anything about the continuation of the Price-Anderson Act?
I have not.
Okay, thanks.
Pat, thanks very much for the call. And one final question. This comes in from Stephen in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Stephen, you there?
Yeah, hi. Just I have a question about candidate's position on the issue of Taiwan. On January 12, the pro-China party, Kuomintang, has control about three-quarters of the seats in the parliament of Taiwan. And the referendum to join the United Nations and the presidential election is coming on the March 22nd. I just wonder what the candidate's position on this issue. Are we going to just let Taiwan go to the China side and lose the one of the most important strategic place in Asia?
Mm-hmm. Michael Hirsch.
Yes. There basically has been a pretty consistent policy by both Democratic and Republican presidents, you know, since Nixon opened China, of strategic ambiguity, of basically kind of warning China off from trying to reabsorb Taiwan, but at the same time encouraging Taiwan not to go independent, and certainly not supporting Taiwan's claims to a seat in the UN. And that will, I'm sure, continue. China is just too huge and too important a strategic partner on too many levels, whether it's the amount of U.S. debt that they hold or the influence they have in the U.S. economy. I don't see any real difference, not only between Clinton and Obama on this, but any serious difference between them and what Bush has done.
Well, but the ambiguity has not, you know, the military might of China has been increasing exponentially. I'm not sure this ambiguity really is going to serve interest in
that. And you know, we've obviously had numerous diplomatic missions both to talk to them about that, a new space race, armed space race that they're engaged in, as well as the dollar yuan issue. But frankly, U.S. leverage is not very great against China now. And there's, you know, American presidents' hands are tied.
Thanks for the call, Stephen.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of our guests. You just heard Michael Hirsch, a senior editor at Newsweek magazine. Our thanks as well to Kirk Victor, a staff correspondent at the National Journal, and to NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner. And stay with us. We're going to be talking about Britney Spears on the Opinion Page.